My vote, I think, would just be to just keep singing. What a way that we could just bring glory and honor to our God today. Thank you for being here. Thank you that you have chosen to give praise and glory and honor to God this morning and to be an encouragement to me and everybody here. We certainly appreciate your presence. Modesty. In our culture today, there are probably, at the mention of that word, rolling of the eyes, and very shortly would come the chanting of the mantra of women's rights. When you speak of modesty today, people almost see it as an oppressive issue. How can you even make women do that? But in God's eyes, modesty is not something to be cast aside as cruel or archaic. In God's eyes, modesty is a virtue to be pursued. It is something that God says it is a way that you profess godliness. So I want us to look this morning at this idea of modesty and look at it from God's perspective. What is it that God sees in this idea of modesty? So as we think about it this morning, I want you to sort of go with me from the standpoint of, well, where does modesty begin? Because certainly we could sort of go through a couple of passages, and then we can sort of start writing out a list of, you can't wear this, you can wear this, can't do this, can't do this. But that wouldn't do us any good, because we don't understand where modesty comes from and where it begins. And so let's just sort of, as we look at this, let's just a dictionary definition of it is having or showing a moderate estimation of one's own talents, abilities, and values. Neither bold nor self-assertive, freedom from conceit or vanity, reserved, proper, or suitable in speech, dress, or behavior. And that last definition is really what we want to look at this morning. If we look for a biblical definition, we look to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and I'd encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to open that to that passage. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 9 beginning, Paul says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." As we look at that, we want to sort of center in on that word that is translated in the New American Standard as proper. Some may say modest clothing. That word is actually, it's the Greek word kosmios, which has its roots in another Greek word, cosmos, as we would say it some. It's just the idea of being orderly or having harmonious arrangement. In one sense, we could say the planets in our solar system are harmoniously arranged. Jeff has talked about the idea that the Earth is, it's not too close to the sun, it's not too far away, it's just right. That is harmoniously arranged. And that's what this idea of cosmos means. And so in referring to people then, we're talking about the harmonious arrangement or the orderliness of people. And it is not just to describe clothing or one's outward appearance, but it is also to describe the idea of behavior. If you drop down in 1 Timothy to the next chapter, in chapter 3 and in verse 2, that same word, kosmios, is used to refer to describe an elder's behavior, the way in which he acts. It is described as good behavior or respectable behavior. And so the idea of modesty is not just the well-ordering of one's attire or outward behavior, But it really is the idea of the inner life. Because in verse 10 right there, of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, Paul shows that the attention is to be drawn not towards the outward, but towards the inward, to a woman's good works which come from the inward part. So what we could say is that modesty begins in the heart. Because in this passage here, Paul is reasoning that if the heart is right, what we choose to wear will take care of itself. Paul defines here two attitudes that sort of govern this idea of our modesty. He first says that the idea of modesty, and the second idea is discreetly. The idea of modesty there, the King James actually uses shamefacedness. I don't go around saying shamefacedness much. But what it means is a bashfulness, a reverence, a regard for others. That is an attitude that he says you are to have as a child of God. The second attitude that he says here is the idea of discreetly. King James says sobriety. It really means the idea of self-control. Now, when we think about it, where do these attitudes come from? They come from the gospel. They come from Christ. Because when one obeys the gospel of Christ, there is a shift that takes place within them. A shift in their perspective and a shift in their attitude. There's a shift in perspective because now I'm not looking at the earthly things, but I am looking at the heavenly. There's a shift in the attitude. Because it's no longer about what I want and how I can please myself. It's about how I can please my Father in heaven. And so what we see is the gospel redefines everything about us. And so when we think about this idea of modesty, it really is about how we think about ourselves. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Just think about that mental picture that Paul is trying to paint for us here. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I put on my suit coat this morning. And I can put it on in such a way, I can cover up such that you cannot see, for the most part, my white shirt underneath. All you see is my suit coat. That's what he's saying here. When you put on Christ, what everyone else is to see is Jesus Christ. It's no longer about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's no longer about drawing attention to myself. It's about drawing attention to Jesus Christ. That everything we do, our thoughts, our actions, our words, are to bring glory to our great God. Martin Collins described modesty in this way. He said, modesty involves a state of mind or disposition that expresses a humble estimate of oneself before God and man. Modesty, like humility, is the opposite of boldness or arrogance. It does not seek to draw attention to itself or to show off in an unseemly way. Modesty all starts in my mind and how I think about myself. Because we have to then start thinking, do we love God enough to not draw attention away from Him in any way? Whether it be my actions, my words, or what I wear. The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 115 and verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. The psalmist says, it's not about me, God. Let me bring glory to your name. Don't let anything be brought to me because it's not about me. That's where we have to begin in understanding the idea and concept of modesty. Is what are we bringing, what attention are we bringing to God rather than ourselves? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Why immodesty? I mean, why do people pursue immodest things? These are some of the reasons that I would say we probably pursue immodest things. One, I would say, is there is ignorance. But ignorance can be changed. You can educate someone. But the other ways in which we pursue immodesty is because of approval. I want somebody else to like me. Attention. I want somebody else to notice me. Status. I want to be part of a group. Power over others. I want to be controlling over somebody else. Now, when we think about all of these, what they all boil down to really is, it's what I want. It's all about self. And immodesty comes in many different ways. It doesn't have to be just not wearing enough clothes. It could be that you put on that necklace or that watch that you think, you know what, I'm going to get some compliments when I wear this. It could be that meticulously posed Instagram picture of the guy that he's just finished his latest workout. And he's like, hey, look at me. It could be that person that is touting their prayer journal because they have now made it through the Bible for the 10th time in a row. You see my point? All of those things, where's the focus? It's on me. It's on, look at what I have done. Look at what I can do. How much of our social media is wrapped up in that very idea? I mean, isn't that what we call it? We take a picture and we say it's a selfie. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to take a picture of yourself. Don't get me wrong. What I am asking for you to think about is, why are you taking that picture? Why are you posting certain things on social media? Is it to say, hey, look at me, look at what I've done? Or is it to say, hey, look at what Christ has done in and through me? See, that's the different motivation. See, God gives us what we need if we will seek. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. I want you to think about that passage for just a moment. Somebody says, I need approval. God says, you're my child. Someone says, I need attention. God says, I watch you day and night. Someone says, I need status. God says, you are set apart. you are a saint, separate from the world such that you can carry out my great purpose. Some says, I need power. God says, let my power work through you to accomplish great and wonderful things. You see, God will satisfy all of our needs, all of our longings, if we will let Him. So many times we think we know best, and we strive to satisfy ourselves, which only comes to futility. But in the remaining time we have, let's then talk about God's practical guidelines. Because let's face it, because of the culture that we live in, I would say in many ways we're more embarrassed to be modest than we are to be immodest in what we wear. And so it's important for us to talk about our clothing and our attire. I want to give you really just 3 points that I believe that God tells to us. Number one, God provided clothing. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible tells us that they themselves made clothing of their own. They sewed fig leaves together. And what the Hebrew scholars and I think what the scriptures and the text bear out is they covered their private areas. But God said, that's not enough. And so in Genesis 3 and verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now that word garment there is actually what the Hebrew scholars tell us is that it is the idea of a tunic. And a tunic covered from the shoulders down to the thigh. Now I'm going to ask you, where does the thigh end? At the kneecap. So God made these garments that covered from the shoulders down to the knees. And let me say this, that this covering was not a punishment for Adam and Eve. As some people would even say today, well, modesty, you're saying that you're ashamed of your body. No, that's not what God is doing here. Instead, God is protecting that which is precious and intimate, and only to be for that which is for a husband and a wife. And I want you to also see that Adam and Eve were both given these garments. He didn't make a garment of skin that covered this for Adam and this for Eve. They both had the same garment. As we move forward in Israel's history, we see that God instructed about the priestly garments and their clothes. He gave instructions to Moses and to Aaron as to the kind of robes that they are to have, the kind of sashes that they were to wear, the kind of hats that they were to wear. And in Exodus 28 and verse 42, he tells them, you shall make for them, that is the priest, linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs. Again, he's talking from the hip down to the end of the thigh. Now, is it that God is saying, hey, I need you to cover up so I don't see you? No, God can see through clothing. He's saying, I want you to understand the purity in which I desire when you come and you worship me. They already had a tunic that was covering their body, but he says, I want you to put on these undergarments as well. Why is that important? Well, what we wear affects others. It's easy to say, it's my body. I can do with it what I want, when I want, and I can let it all hang out, and you can't do anything about it. That's what some people can say. But here's the reality for each and every one of us. We live in community. We live in a community of believers, and we live among the world. And what we wear not only says something about us, but it also influences some people. It influences everybody around us, just like our words and just like our actions. I mean, the advertisement world understands this. The adage is, sex sells. So think about all the advertisements that you see. Most of the time, there is some scantily clad man or woman in the ad, and the idea is, well, hey, look at the great time they're having with whatever product it is. I must go ahead and buy that because, man, I want to be like them. They understand the influence of what you wear matters. So I would say this. A man or woman dressed in a way that reveals their body, it could be a stumbling block to someone else. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. I want you to think about that passage in light of modesty. What is it that Paul is saying? He's saying, you got to think about what you wear. Be concerned about the other person, not just yourself. Elevate the other person. Be mindful of them. And I would say that it doesn't have to be that it's how little of clothing we wear. We can be fully clothed and still be immodest. Whether it be what wording I put on my outfits or buy. I mean, I've said before, you know, there's the manufacturers, they put the words right over the buttocks. Why do they do that? Seriously, think about it. Why do they put that there? Why don't they put it on the elbow? Because it draws our attention to that area. Think about those things when you put that, when you say, well, I'm going to go buy this and I'm going to put that on. You can be just as immodest if you are completely clothed, but you are wearing skin-tight clothing. Because it reveals everything. Now, I was talking one time with a friend of mine, and we were just talking back and forth, and he said, you know what? He said, we've really gotten to a point in our congregation where the Lord's Supper has become a peep show. I was like, what? He said, well, here are all of these men trying to serve the bread and the grape juice, and as they pass and as they bend over, here are these women in such low-cut blouses that they look down and they can see everything. They're trying to remember the Lord, and yet there's the influence even within the body of Christ. Now, to that response, and this is a response that I know that probably many in the world would say is, well, you know what? They shouldn't look. It's my body. They shouldn't look at me. To which I would respond, yes, you are exactly right. Whether man or woman, we all have the responsibility of our own thoughts and actions. And it is a daily battle to remain pure in this world. But here's what I want you to consider. Why do you want to make it harder for someone to remain pure and live for Jesus? Why do you possibly want to cause someone else to be tempted and to give into sin just so that you can be dressed like the rest of the world? Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's what Jesus says about stumbling blocks. I'm not saying that. Jesus says that's the importance that I want you to understand, that you can be a stumbling block to someone else. Not just by what you wear, but by your actions, by your thoughts, by your words. I realize that it is much easier to dress appropriately when we're surrounded by those who think as we do. When we are surrounded by other Christians, it's much easier. I understand that when you guys, teenagers, kids, when you guys go off to camp in a couple of weeks, it's going to be easier to dress modestly because you're surrounded by others who do that. And I understand that it's much harder when you go to school, when you go to work, and you are in the world. But being part of the body of Christ, being what it means to live for Jesus and to point others to Him, means that we are called to be different than this world. We're called to look different than this world. And that means that we need to cover our bodies so that we can proclaim godliness in Jesus Christ. The last point that I want us to see is that modesty shows we are more than just our bodies. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, it's not telling us that we cannot look nice. It's not a prohibition against that. We can look nice and we can use accessories to help us make ourselves look nice. But his point is, if you are going so far that is your only intent, that you are trying so hard to look good in all the ways that are so relatively unimportant, he's saying don't seek to get attention by your hair, by your jewelry, by your sex appeal. Instead, stand out with your Christ-like character. That's how God wants us to be noticed. Because when you dress immodestly, you're telling people that you don't have anything more to offer in your body. You're basically saying, hey, this is all I got. And let me tell you, young people, young ladies, young men, you have way more than just your bodies. You are a soul that has been created by God. And you are beautiful just because of that. Not by what you wear. I'll close with this. And this is what one woman wrote in a perspective on modesty. She said, modesty is all about how much we love. Do we love God enough to not attract attention away from Him in any way, be it in the manner we dress or act? Do we love ourselves enough to not have to reveal a part of our body for someone else's pleasure and approval? Do we love our husbands enough to keep our mystery only for His eyes? Do we love our brothers enough to not tempt them with the lust of the flesh? Modesty is not about our personal liberty in Christ, as in what we have the right to wear or not wear. It is about having the right and responsibility to point everyone to Him and not distract away from Him with our actions, our attitude, and our appearance. So this week, give you a little bit of a homework. I want you to ask yourself some questions. When you get up tomorrow, you get dressed for whatever it is, I want you to ask yourself, who are you dressing for? When you get on social media and you put that post, I want you to ask yourself, who am I posting for? When you live your life, I want you to ask yourself, who are you living for? Is it God or is it yourself? Because God died for you so that you could have forgiveness of sins. And what He calls us to is to live a life of modesty, not just in what we wear, but in how we act, think, and live. Are you living for Him this morning? If not, He's calling you. Calling you to Himself, would you make that change to be His child, to be baptized into Jesus Christ and have the forgiveness of your sins and live for Him? If we can help you in any way, won't you come? Together we stand and sing.